No. I wasn't here last week, and we didn't meet. What do you do when you are stressed out? How do you get yourself to calm back down and have peace? Go shopping. Do you give her the credit cards when she's stressed, Brent? You always have. That could be bad. Ice cream? Lots of it? The good stuff. You're not going for the cheap stuff, okay? What do you do when you're stressed out? Yeah, walking and sitting there and thinking is good. Chuck.
Physical sometimes. Maybe lifting weights, maybe rack ball, maybe go dig a tree out of the ground. Kind of burns that excess stress. Or sometimes you look at it and say, what are you stressed about? And say, well, what does that really mean in the big scheme of things? And sometimes you look at it in perspective and you can calm down.
Good. We're going to go one of those places that some of you have never gone before. So let me encourage you to ask questions when they pop up. Tonight's just the basics. In 2 weeks, we'll get what the Spirit does. Somebody, now read this one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What do you notice about it? To the Lord. What else do you know about it?
Singularity.
Using the big words again, I can't keep up. It's one of the beginnings of the Shema. But notice what he says. The most important, that's command. Answer Jesus is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. Why that kind of emphasis?
Because there was a lot of polytheism.
It sure was a lot of polytheism.
Everybody had a God for their purpose or demise.
Yes, very good. Then how do you make this one fit? You've got three.
No.
No?
You got God.
You got God.
Maybe, a lot of ways to say it, three facets of God, but it's still God.
Okay. Okay, very good. You have your hand up? I just looked that way. I thought you did. Okay. This states when you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into three beings. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are mentioned there. So this isn't something that you acquire later in life. I was baptized when I was 16 and then when I was 32, and they go through that. You have all three beings. There isn't a pray-through standard. There isn't a, if I'm good enough standard. This means all three beings become active in your salvation the day you decide to follow Christ. But that's not what everybody believes. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. And I've given them the glory that you've given me, that they may be as one, as we are in one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought together in complete unity to know the world, to let the world know that you have sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me, and I have made it known to them and will continue to make it known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and myself may be in them. What the Bible teaches about salvation and God is there are three beings who make up one unit. All three beings are part of your salvation from the day you start, and they are there. Knowing this is so important because you hear so many strange things about the Holy Spirit. For instance, tritheism teaches that there's more than one God. That all three gods can be together. They don't have to be. They're not actually organized for any one thing. And you don't have to stop at three. There is a major religion out there today that teaches you can have as many gods. There can be as many gods as you want to make. And even you can raise up to a point that you are God. And you get your own universe to run. So this is what I call many gods, but tritheism is the proper name. So far, so good? That's not hard. This is Arianism. And what they teach is a little different. They teach you have an all-powerful God, Father God. And he makes what he needs. But whatever he makes is not eternal. It is not going to last forever. It's just going to last until they get their job done. Arian was in the 4th century. He's been around a while. See, marriage, babies, clicked in my mind. But what it means is Jesus was made to come down and suffer and die on the cross. And the Holy Spirit was made to come down and give us that boost we need as we start walking with our faith. Now, this one's kind of easy to recognize. It's a rank order. The people who believe in the Arian idea of the Holy Spirit say there is God the Father, and under him is whatever or whoever he created next. In Christianity, it is Jesus, and whoever's under him of lesser power, doing less, because they're just making them as they need them. And then when he's done, he will get to discard them. They don't last forever. They're just created beings. Didn't hear that one before, I can tell. So Arianism says, rank order. God the Father is higher. I put him in a general. You got a colonel under him. You got a sergeant under him. Whenever there's an order to the gods, to our God, you know it's Arianism. Again, there is a major belief out there that teaches this really harsh. Okay.
This originated in Eastern Europe?
Third century, this one came about. And the Arian is from Arius. He's the one who promoted it. But it's a tough, obedient, lying belief system. And this is what he said about the Holy Spirit. Okay. There's only one God. And so what he does, he did what the actors did in his day. Anybody tell him to know what the actors did in his day? I get somebody right up front who's Paul. We want you happy for a second. And if you were acting as this day, you would pick up a mask with a smile on it, and now you're happy. If you don't want to be happy, you take that mask off and you put it down and you put a mask on that's sad. Now I'm sad. And if you want to be confused, they even had confusion masks that just sort of came out from everybody else. Now, this one's got a modern day tale to it. And the one that's out there now that most use is this, water. You get a cup of water, a glass of water, and you put it into your refrigerator freezer. What happens to it? You put it in your refrigerator freezer. It gets hard. Is that okay? It freezes. It's not like the ice, the water was. This is a solid block of stuff that it's frozen. So you take it out and you put it in a pan. Hopefully the glass you put it in first was unbreakable. And it gets hot. What happens to it? You end up with steam. Steam, a form of water? He's just the same guy who changes in some way, but there's only really one of him. Now, have I left any of you in the dust? Now's the moment. What the Bible teaches is a Trinity. The Bible preaches three beings together, co-equal, which means they're all in the same power, accomplishing doing the best will for man. What one does is to help the other to complete the task. Okay? This is the baptizing of the Son in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three there, all three working for the same thing, the salvation of man. There are three in every way that make up one God. The way I remember it, I got off Harvey Floyd when he was my Greek teacher. He said, just instead of saying Father, Son, Holy Spirit, say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Identify the three. That's who God is. Check.
Time says the same thing can't be three separate things at the same time. Because we're bound by time. God's not bound by time. He exists differently than we do. He's certainly not bound by the creation. And that's why he knows all things future past, is because future past doesn't exist for him. He exists, period. And maybe we can't understand that in our framework of
Yeah. Okay. When you move your hand, you could get called on my class. Paul.
I think Paul did a fairly good job of explaining it in 1 Corinthians 12. In verses 4 through 7, I'm sorry, 4 through 6, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord over the service.
Yes.
There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work.
Yes. Very good.
He's able to capture the essence of that working together concept by describing it that way.
Very good. I didn't have that one down. That's excellent. Somebody like to read? I'm getting squeaky. Okay, what do you see? Anybody know the balance of what's happening in 2 Corinthians? Paul's still trying to straighten up the church. They're still having problems.
It shows all three beings working for the church's benefit.
Yeah, that's great. See all three beings? All three beings are there. They're doing different stuff, but they're working together in this situation.
So the key that brings them together, in my mind, is the first piece, be of one mind.
Uh-huh.
If you're all of one mind, collectively as the church, and the Lord Jesus is head of the church, then he's part of that one mind,
mm-hmm.
which refers back to John 17 in the prayer of, I'm in you, you're in me, we're one with one another. It's that oneness.
Yes, and the oneness is what makes it go. Okay. We've read this one before. I just want you to read it again. So after a while, it gets redundant. Then it's hard to forget.
The three are equal in every respect. A simple way to remember this is to use the same title, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Chuck.
Equal but distinct.
Equal but very distinct.
Where you have the will is being carried out by the word, and then the spirit moves across and makes it happen.
Yeah. Somebody like to read. Okay. What do you see? all three beings, the moment Jesus was baptized, all three beings are present. The Father says, this is my Son. Holy Spirit leaves heaven and comes down as a dove. And of course, Jesus is still in the water probably. But all three beings are there the moment Jesus is baptized. So far, so good. Somebody, this is that redundant sign.
Three are equal in every respect. Simple way to remember this is to use the same title. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Who would like to read? This was a real long one.
Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it.
Okay. What's Jesus driving at?
Equality.
Equality?
They work for the same purpose, for the same good. It's not a competition, it's not a conflict. Moving in the same for the same goal.
Yeah. Paul.
The other part that's a piece of this that sometimes is confusing to us is Paul says in the Philippian letter that he didn't consider equality with God something to cling to. And then you go to John chapter 14 and he tells the disciples, I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. But the disparity is because he gave up that part for this activity.
Mm-hmm. Very good. They're working together on an equal basis. And some of the people said, well, no, you can't do that. And Jesus says, sure I can. I'm doing what the Father's done. We're all pulling in the same direction. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. They're working so close together that the glory goes to the Father, but also Jesus, for who he's doing and what they're doing together.
That's why Jesus said, Father, now glorify me with the glory I had with you from the beginning.
Yeah, John 17. Now's the time. Somebody like to take this one? Thank you. Bob.
The only problem with that, like
Yeah, they do.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He says, only my Father in heaven knows the time, the day, the hour.
Right. Of the end. But they are working together for our salvation.
Yeah, I mean, in that respect, but I said that, they don't know what the other one's thinking. You know, but they're not. If it's put that way, if he's the only one to know, the other two are in the dark, you know. So he can't see. You know, they're equal in respect of equal in every.
Yeah. But the progress, the reason he doesn't know the end, is the end's one of those things that needs to be blurred for us. Okay?
The only way I see it is when he did ask him this here, is when he became God man, right? When he says, no man knows what time this is going to happen, only my Father and him.
Okay. Okay, good. The Trinity, three persons that act as one, they're equal and act as one. Somebody want to read? What do you see?
The Spirit is God.
Spirit is God. He uses them interchangeably. You lied to the Spirit. You lied to God. They're interchangeable. So that fits into our three beings that are acting as one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How did he lie to the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit is in us.
Uh-huh.
He made this decision, you're saying, in his heart, and the Holy Spirit was there.
They were going after the glory without that's in Matthew 12. If you love me, you will obey what I command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Stop and look at the word another. Another means an exact copy of, or an exact representation of. Jesus says, I'm leaving. Don't get upset. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you one who is a carbon copy of me, or just like me. It's not another guy. It's somebody just like me. And when he comes, he'll be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my command and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, did you get thoroughly mixed up? Jesus is on the way to leave, and he says, I'm going to give you somebody just like me to hold you on a steady course. I'm not going to leave you out there running by yourselves. I'm going to come, and I'm going to set this thing up so we all run on the course in the same way. Somebody want to read this? What do you notice?
This is a prayer certainly of unity. He knows he's leaving. And he draws on the unity he has with Father to say, I want them to have that same unity. And the way they're going to get that unity is when we put ourselves in them.
Did you catch the part about him being there before creation? This isn't a created being that gets down here to do something and then he's going to be done. This is a co-being. This is a being that's been there with him in the beginning. John 1:1 says that also. In fact, there are a lot of verses like this. That Jesus was always there. It's Colossians that gives him, he was there creating with God. Chuck.
Revelation talks about it being the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha is, I was there at the creation because I was the one speaking in the creation. The Omega is, I'll be there at the end because I'm going to be the one who's going to take it out.
Very good. Okay, any questions? This is probably very hard tonight. And you're going to go home and say, I wish you'd have said something about, if you have any problems, come and see me. And we'll sit down and open our Bibles together and we'll study together. I lost it. Oh, no. My prayer's not for them alone. My prayer's not for them alone. I pray for those who believe me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, so they may be in us, so the world may believe you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, and they are one as we are one. In them, and you and me, that we can be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and loved me as the Father has loved me. I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Okay?
So you got the Trinity.
Uh-huh.
And now you got us.
Uh-huh.
Spirit So now aren't we a part?
Oh, yes. In Ephesians, I want to say 4. It could be 2, but I'm hoping it's 4. He talks about the Holy Spirit as the seal of our salvation, which is very important.
So it is uniting us.
Yes, definitely is uniting us.
She asked if it's uniting us with the Trinity.
Yeah, we're in them, and they're in us, is what he said in John 17. Yes. And if you go over into Corinthians, for instance, it speaks of us being one, of God living in us. So there are times it says God living in us, there's times Jesus is living in us, and there are times the Holy Spirit is living in us. And all three work towards our salvation. Okay? Co-equal, not one that does anything else. I'm not preaching anything spectacularly different here. I just want you to see that God's putting it all out so that we go to heaven with him one day. Paul.
Part of the key to this for us especially, and the equality piece, is when one assigns another something or does something for or to or with another, like the Father raising the Son from the dead, doesn't mean that one's in charge of another, simply that one has a task to do that's associated with another in a different way. The reason that's important for us is because for us to be part of that shared glory and to be one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then the work that we do is not because he told us to do it and so he's in charge, but rather we feel the same love and necessity to work with him to accomplish the same thing.
Yes.
And once we get there, we start looking at our relationship with God completely differently. It's no longer I'm doing it because he said so. It's now I'm doing it because we're one and this is what we do and this is my piece.
Mm-hmm. That's very good.
That's
Bob.
Mike, what I tell everybody is we both can't be right, but we both could be wrong. But if I'm right, you better be standing so close to me to be taken up with the vacuum. That gets us.
Okay. Chuck.
I think when Paul draws his analogy where he talks about the different parts of the body and, you know, some are this versus that, you know, some are eye, they all have to work together in harmony as the church, and there's no role that's higher than another role in the church. And I'm an elder, I have a responsibility, but my role is not any more elevated than anybody else's. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of people who are qualified to do it, but that doesn't make it, it doesn't elevate it any higher than any other responsibility in the church. It's the same situation, I think, with the Trinity and the Godhead. A lot of different words we use for it is they have different responsibilities or different roles, if you will. The Father has the will.
Yes.
And the other do the will of the Father.
Yes.
But the Father can't have the will executed out without the Son and the Spirit.
Yes.
They have to work together. But the role, because they have different roles, doesn't mean that they are one subordinate to another.
Right.
Different roles.
Yes.
just because your hands can't see doesn't mean your eyes are better than your hands.
Right.
That's, I never heard it explained. That's kind of deep. All right, come back in 2 weeks and see how this applies, because it's very important. I did not learn this until I went to college at Lipscomb. And there we had a Hebrew-Greek scholar named Harvey Floyd, who has written a book entitled, Is the Holy Spirit for Me? You can still get it through the Christian bookhouses if you want a copy of it. Good class, everybody.